The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Did Hilt send you to keep an eye on me?
No. This was entirely my decision. You were right, I've allowed myself to get old too quickly. I shall leech off their youthfulness. Revive myself.
What is the real reason?
Word reached me of the abduction of a young deacon. So I felt I should,
You came to help me be a better father.
Well, there is that.
And?
Wrong one, Blake.
Yoko was in the Sorcerer's Stone, so it's all good.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to The Last Kingdom on Netflix. So grab an ale, sit back and relax, and let's see how England was born. Come on back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I cannot believe I just ruined that beautiful moment.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite moments of this entire show, and I just ruined it. Straight up, just obliterated it.
As we teach our kids, everybody makes mistakes.
As long as they don't become habits.
Yes.
Don't become habits. Don't become a repeat offender.
Fun teaching lessons with Blake.
Oddly enough, normally, Mary is the one that screws it all up in the intros.
Hey.
And I was just like, I was so eagerly awaiting. When I saw it, I was like, this is the moment. This is it right here. And yeah.
We got you, man. We got you.
What are we doing?
Well, listen, friends. We are going to run through season 4 of The Last Kingdom. So yeah, like pretty much, you know when the shows have like those 3-year time gaps when you're like, oh my God, Uhtred's kids grew up. Or Ethelfled grew up. Yeah, that's basically the speed at which we are going to be podcasting about this season as the start date of season 5 is rapidly approaching.
Oh yeah.
And so if you are not on our complimentary text list, I want you to get out your phones in the US. You're going to text the phone number 810-10. Yes, there's only 5 numbers in it. Work with me. I promise you, it's totally okay.
It works.
And in the message field, do the at symbol last king. So all together, at symbol LASTKING. That's going to add you to our complimentary text list. We're going to let you know when the new episodes drop. And we're going to rock and roll with those. So really, really excited. We do have a very busy spring. So if you enjoy the podcast that Blake and I do, make sure you're following us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. You can even just go to maryandblake.com. Make sure, of course, you're subscribed to the podcast, as a lot are going to be dropping as Blake and I are able to do this. And we, of course, want to thank all of our friends at jointhenerdclan.com. Your support truly makes this possible. So if you enjoy the podcast that Blake and I do, and if you can donate as little as $2 a month, it's less than a cup of coffee. It honestly goes towards this mom and pop podcasting media company. We want to thank everyone there. All right, let's get into the show. So here we are in episode one of season four. And for those of you who haven't watched this season recently or this episode recently, here's our brief little synopsis. Basically, Bebbanburg is the place to be. Everybody wants to be in Bebbanburg, so you better learn how to say that word in case you forgot for a little bit. But basically, Uhtred finds out that the Scots, yes, my people, are invading Bebbanburg and have severely weakened their forces there. And Uhtred says, it's my birthright. Gotta get it while it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. Hey, right. Everybody wants to be a Scot. Anyway, I think he would get along really well with the Scots. So he says, let's go fight. Asks Edward for help. Edward says, no. And Uhtred says, I don't need you. I'm Uhtred of Bebbanburg. I got this. And he gets a lot of friends to join him along the way.
Oh, goodness gracious.
That was his recap. I mean, basically.
It's a pretty good recap. Wow, my camera is way off.
All right, there Blake, so go. Tell me some fun facts.
Wow, okay, my camera was a mess. Fun facts about this episode. Episode one, directed by Edward Basil Gett. You should know that name because he was the director of the last two episodes of, I almost said This Is Us, of The Last Kingdom. And it looks as though he is directing one, two, three, four episodes of season four. And also, I had mentioned last episode, he is directing the Last Kingdom feature film that will be coming out on Netflix. That looks, it's in pre-production right now. So, because they just obviously finished season five. So they're doing that as of right now. The writer was Martha Hillier. You should know that name.
I don't.
That's because, you know what? Maybe you're not going to know it like through, you know, the grapevine here, but what you are going to know it through.
Just about to lose my mind, honey.
Is if you remember, I brought her name up at the beginning of The Last Kingdom with Marion Blake, as she is the new showrunner of The Last Kingdom.
Okay, so she's a big deal for season five.
Big deal for season five. Big deal for the Last Kingdom feature film because she wrote the Last Kingdom feature film called Seven Kings Must Die. And it looks as though she takes on a lot of the episodes for season
four. It'd be interesting to see how a female showrunner runs it differently.
Well, you know, I'm not going to say that it's because she's a female, but I definitely noticed a difference in the writing and in the in how things are, I don't know, just produced, just felt different.
And the fact that the kids are involved. Thank you.
Yeah, right. I know, right? As far as her previous works, Martha Hillier has written the show Vera, and she's also written the show Versailles, which is an interesting, not coincidence, but it's an interesting connection because Edward Basil Gett directed many episodes of Versailles. So I wonder if there was some kind of connection there because Martha Hillier was not brought in until season four of The Last Kingdom. So it makes sense. All these things, this is the reason why we tell you all these little details is because you get to start to see connections and how not only things are shot and written and produced, but how connections are made between people and how certain people have jobs together. They're brought in together and then they bring in other people that they like and then they give them most of the jobs back. It's just how teams work and how you have how you develop strategies and also tendencies. And it's always interesting to see how these things come together. So
basically, life in the television world is just like life in the real world.
Yes,
it's all about
absolutely.
Who you know.
It's all about who you know. Definitely.
Awesome.
So that's that.
So Shields rating. So we love to do Shields rating, of course, for every single episode. And my Shield rating on a 1 to 5 scale is a 4.5.
Yeah, I think that's a fair rating, Mary.
Thank you.
As always, I'm lower than you. I'm giving it a 4.3. I enjoyed it. It is very much a table setter. It is very much a reintroduction back into the world of The Last Kingdom and how all of our stuff is coming back together again. All right, Marvin, what do you got for your GBG? You're good. You're bad. And you're great.
All right. So kicking things off, my good for this episode was everything. And I mean everything with Father Bianca. I mean, honestly, it could have also been my great. But I just loved how he has this beautiful relationship with Hild. I love how he put Queen Aelswyth, no longer queen, in her place.
Oh, yeah.
And was like, oh, yeah, I know I'm not wanted here, but neither are you.
Gave her the Mike business. Drop. Yeah. From the top rope comes Father Bianca.
Oh,
when
you don't like your son's father-in-law?
Yeah.
You should have stuck with the first one.
It sucks to suck, bro.
And then he ends up joining Uhtred. So everything Father Bianca. My bad is I am so over St. Osfer's body parts.
No, isn't it Oswald? No, Osferth is the baby monk.
Oh, then yeah. Whatever.
Whoever.
Saint's body parts.
The hat and the whatever.
All I think about is the smell of frog dissection that would happen in my high school and junior high. And they always timed it when it started to get a little warm. Yep. And there was already like BO stench within the schools. So you'd have the formaldehyde and the BO. Like they couldn't do it. I don't know. Maybe they did it so they could open windows, but I don't think they did.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm picturing are these saint body parts. So when the uncle holds up the heart.
You know, you're like, oh, God, it's like all gross.
All I can picture up was like holding up my dissected frog.
Yeah, we did fetal pigs in my school.
Yeah, I did that too.
Yeah, no.
You actually did that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you took that kind of biology class.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on now. That was my freshman year of high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, not great. I hated that.
Okay, yeah.
Hated it. Yeah. Want nothing to do with it.
We did like cow eyeballs and earthworms and pigs and frogs. And all of it smells the same. And that is how I expect the land of Mercia to smell as they collect all these body parts. So I'm just so grossed out. And I, whatevs. Am I great? Is Heston,
Hector,
a.k.a. that guy that likes chicken. He knows the truth still. He has not forgotten that Knut Weasley was in on the murder.
Oh, yeah. And he's got no problem.
I mean, now he's going to have a problem because Knut Weasley was like, you say that again and I'm going to kill you too.
I'm on to it.
But I just love that Heston's like, wow, Breida likes you. How'd you get that? And Knut Weasley said, respect. And he's like, yeah, respect like getting her man killed.
Heston just keeps living.
He is that cockroach. He's just a little toaster.
Keeps coming back. All right. My good is it is the fact that they brought back the scenes of young Uhtred to give us that emotional connection to the beginning of the series, where it all began, and the beginning of Uhtred's life in his pursuit of Bebbanburg. It's not just, oh, this is the thing that we're doing now. Because a lot of the times in The Last Kingdom, it feels like this is the thing we're doing now. It's as if we have this one goal in mind. We keep getting sidetracked. We're like, we're doing side missions, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And the side mission often takes precedent in the certain seasons. But they're bringing it back. And I loved how Uhtred has gone from, you know, being a straight up Saxon to being a Dane to being the Dane Slayer to, you know, to going back to being a Dane again. And like, mm-hmm. and now he's just Uhtred of Bebbanburg, and he just wants his home back. And you can feel as though when he's on that boat going back to Bebbanburg, it's mm-hmm. like those are his memories, and those are the things that he remembers of looking through the amber in his, which is now in the sword hilt. And I just loved that. I thought that was a great way to bring back season one and remember the fact that this is the approach. This is the whole point mm-hmm. of where this has gone this entire time.
Yeah.
And now we finally get a chance to revisit it.
Love it.
Or at least embark on it. The bad for me, is it me or is Alexander Draymond's wig? Is it a wig and is it like really bad? Like just season four, like Jamie Outlander bad? Because I feel like the first, obviously the two seasons, it was truly Alexander Draymond's hair. And my sense was that the third season was his hair as well. But for some reason,
the mohawk extensions.
Yeah, it just feels like very super ratty and like dry and dead. Whereas the last season, it just didn't. And maybe that's one of those things that you don't notice unless you watch it like very closely together.
Mm-hmm.
But since we have been, there's just a big difference.
Okay.
And it's lighter and it just feels messier and rattier and just gross.
I mean, it's more authentic, right?
I mean, I suppose. But yeah, his hair just looks different. And so I don't like that. But the great, it goes back to what we played at the beginning of our episode here before I ruined this beautiful moment, which is that wordless moment between Uhtred and Beaka, mm-hmm. and what that means for the both of them. And Mary, let's just begin this conversation with this topic, because I would love to know what you think that wordless moment was between the two. And, you know, Uhtred has this wry smile, and, you know, Beaka looks at him with this, you know, longing look a little bit. And I would love to know what you interpret that moment to
after
be.
He said, to help me be a better father.
He goes, yeah, there is that. And then there's just this pause, and Uhtred smiles, and then they look at each other for a little bit, and then Beaka looks away. I would love to know what you think what that moment is.
Like what the voiceless, what's going inside Bianca's mind?
Yeah, and what's going on in Uhtred's mind, if it's the same thing.
Oh, I think Uhtred is just on cloud nine. The gang's all here. You know, Bianca and I are going back and it's going to be lovely. Part of me, for Bianca to bring up Uhtred's son, part of me thinks Bianca is very worried about this son.
Yeah.
And not everybody can keep up with Uhtred's lifestyle and his ambitions. And I don't know. I think Bianca is going through a lot of darkness still. So
yeah, it's hard not to.
Yeah.
After what he's been through.
So I'm excited he's with him, mm-hmm. but I didn't. What was your interpretation of that quiet exchange?
Well, because if you remember, you know, shortly before, Uhtred calls Father Bianca father, mm-hmm. right? And my sense is that that is not the title that he's referring to for Father Bianca. It is, you're my dad. You're my dad. And in that wordless moment feels to me like not only am I here to make sure that you're a good father, but I want to make sure that you have a father as well.
I mean, they are family. He married Tura. So, yeah, it's almost like brother, but he's been older than him. So I agree with you.
You know, it's just this beautiful moment of just recognition and support and everything that they've been through together, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the anger and the disdain and the love and the hurt of when Tura gets killed, and all these things just seem to culminate in this moment that the two of them share. And this episode, I think, really brings us back on a level for Team Uhtred that it knows how to mine that kind of sentiment, especially when you see, you know, after the battle at Bebbanburg, after Osferth and Finan come home, mm-hmm. as they're on the boat, you know, Finan's on the edge of the boat and he's got his arms and legs wide open, yes. and he's saying, "Hey, we're here, women of Cookham, we're here." And then Uhtred's like, "Yeah, they can smell you already." And it's just like these moments of connection, these moments of relationship. These are the things that define our characters. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, that they're super brave or that they go kill people, whatever. But it's just a texture to the relationships that they all share.
I will say, I think it's a little different of a feeling that it gives you and I, since we were able to just binge these seasons back to back.
Yeah.
And, you know, with Finan and with Bianca and everybody coming back, it kind of reminds me of the feeling you'd get when you'd go back to college or you'd go back to school in September and your friends are all there. You still get the same jokes, but everyone's just a little bit older, a little bit wiser, has their own things that they've gone through. And so I think as you're watching it in real time, and you have gone through a hiatus without seeing these characters, you felt that way too. Like
sure.
you were coming back home to everybody. So
yeah, and just watching them all interact, watching them, you know, be who they are, And like, you know, we noticed that they all have different haircuts again, and they and like Edward has long hair down to his shoulders, and there obviously clearly has been some time that has progressed since the last season. It's a big deal what's happening, and that kind of goes into my next question, Mary, which is, and at least a recognition, which is there is a different showrunner. There is someone who's now in charge of this program that is making different decisions than what has originally been built upon for the first three. And within this episode, Mary, do you sense a difference at all in things, how they're produced, how they're written? Does it feel more Netflix-y? Does it, like, I don't know. I would love to know your thought. Number one, because it's a different showrunner, but number two, it's a female showrunner, is there something that you noticed from that at all?
I will say, like, I didn't notice much. Mm-hmm. Had you not told me it was a different showrunner or a different writer, I'll be honest, I would not have noticed. But yeah. I will say I did enjoy this as a season premiere.
Yeah.
And oftentimes in more dramatic, long-played storylines of shows, I generally don't like season premieres because they do start slow and I wonder where people are. And I felt not only did we get to establish where everyone was, but I feel like I know where everyone's going and I got caught up quickly. So I wasn't really that bored. Sometimes I am bored in season premieres.
Yeah, yes, I agree. And you know, unless it's a series premiere, usually series premieres are very good. You know, usually they have that, they jump off with a bang that gets you into the show. Mm-hmm. But you're right, season premieres are usually just setting the table. And that happens in this episode, which is fine. That's okay. But it's usually setting up the table, putting out the pieces, starting the narratives. But because we've had so much time invested with these characters, just seeing those reunions, seeing the little things that you probably wouldn't appreciate in earlier seasons. Yeah, I think it makes it a good jump. And the reason why I bring it up is because I wanted to talk about Stephen Bouchard, the original creator and showrunner of The Last Kingdom, and actually mention some of the things that he said as it relates to why he left the show. Mm-hmm. So Stephen Bouchard, what he said in one of the interviews, where is it? I got it in my notes right here. Why does my camera keep changing? This is ridiculous. Sorry. he said leaving the show was his choice. He'd done three seasons, and it's a show that I absolutely love, really, really love. But after 26 episodes of writing something for me, we were kind of coming to an end of an era with the Alfred and Uhtred relationships being heavily invested in that. So I thought that this was the right time to step down with a new cast coming in. Yeah, it was the easiest time and the most convenient time to break from the project because it was a perfect time for someone new to come in with new faces coming in for season four and take it from there. I absolutely loved doing the show, and I really did. It was fantastic with the people I was working with, and just fantastic people. So it was a lovely, lovely experience. I just felt as though it was the right time for me to take a step back. And then he continues saying that adapting Cornwell's novels, they were challenges. He said, I do think because the books are so expansive, it was finding a through line, a focal point, really, that was hard. So for the series, for instance, I kind of knew within the first episode, you know, that we had to make Uhtred a man. In book one, for a large portion of book one, he's a boy, right? Well, we needed to make him a man. We needed to establish the premise of the whole show, that he's an outsider from the off. Uhtred is neither Saxon nor Dane. So that had to be very much in the first episode. But there were so many stories of when he was a boy. It was finding how we can bring some of them into stories as a man, right? So we did our best to bring it. And in many ways, that also led to us needing the second book as well to give us more depth for the first season. And there are plenty of characters besides Uhtred to deal with as well. So what do you do with this massive cast? I was choosing which characters to develop fully. And if you read the books, you'll know that it's all told from Uhtred's point of view. So you always hear Uhtred's point of view of a character, for instance. With Alfred, he says that many times how much he hates other kinds of people. What we need is, and what we need to understand that is someone else's point of view, building a picture of those characters. That was kind of a challenge with Alfred, doing a little research. He was such a fascinating man. The fact that he went to Rome at the age of four, he was very God-fearing and also so progressive as well. You know, he always felt like people cannot progress while there is a war going on. You need peacetime to really make progressions of society. So bringing all of them into it, that was the key. We had very much each character feel three-dimensional. So, you know, it's like how he has to pick and choose, who and what characters he was talking about and trying to bring in and making things up, you know, and about like Ragnar's death and all, mm-hmm. you know, there's this really, you can see what interested him in the books. And that was Alfred and Uhtred relationship.
Yes.
And how do you think, Mary, this show will fare now that we don't have that relationship?
I think it will be different, but I think it'll be good. I think by this point, you're pretty well invested in a lot of these characters and you want to see how things end up. And with Bebbanburg being a main goal mm-hmm. for Uhtred, it's also been a main goal for us now. So yes, Alfred and Uhtred are gone, but Uhtred now has a different journey. And I hope it doesn't get like stuck in too many other things because I do want to continue to see forward momentum towards mm-hmm. Bebbanburg. But I feel like his story can't be done until he has that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, again, as we noted last episode, you know, you cannot begin a show the way that they did, you know, saying Bebbanburg is mine mm-hmm. and then not bring us there.
Yeah.
You know, you have to do that. Whether or not he succeeds, that's a whole different story.
Agreed.
But you have to bring us to that point mm-hmm. of how and why he got there. There is an interesting opportunity, Mary, I think, for this show, and that is introducing Uhtred's son.
Yes.
And what that means to Uhtred himself. You know, we've always seen Uhtred as the younger, kind of flippant mm-hmm. and I don't want to say immature, but just, you know, cocksure and you know, ready to move on a whim mm-hmm. and always being right and always, you know, for the most part, making the right choices, but being not, slightly arrogant in doing so. Mm-hmm. Now we kind of get to see him in a role that is more like Alfred. And how Uhtred's son could bring him back to the earth a mm-hmm. little bit. That was one thing I worried about, that, you know, Uhtred could never be brought back to earth by anybody else in the show because he's always kind of, you know, been right all the time. There was no one there that ever could tell him no.
Correct.
And I'm not saying that Uhtred's son could tell him no, but I think he could give him pause.
He can challenge him in a different way.
Yeah. So what do you think about that? And do you think it could go really right or it could go really wrong?
Well, I'm just excited for this element. You know, we now no longer have the element of Alfred versus Uhtred. And Uhtred has been able to, for the most part, make choices without necessarily worrying about the repercussions of what it does to other people. You know, but his wife has been dead. He hasn't really been with his kids. So he can just kind of run off or not worry about being banished or just go on any mission that he wants to go on. Mm-hmm. But now, not only are the children established that they're still here, we know that there's actors that are cast as them, but he gets his son. So now it's not just, yes, I have kids somewhere, but my son is with me. So Uhtred now has to make his choices very differently. Mm-hmm. This isn't just Finnan, you know, and Sitrick and little baby Osferth, you know, chilling out, and they're their own men. Mm-hmm. You know, they can choose to come with him or not. Now he has essentially abducted his son who doesn't make the choice to put his life on the line.
Yeah.
And he's now taking him to this battle place. And he's going to have to make and plan about that differently. It's also makes me think a bit about, what was that girl's Skade? It makes me think about Skade when everyone would just kind of, you know, take Skade and tie her up to a tree or put her in a dungeon. He's not going to do that to his son. He's not going to treat him like a prisoner. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's going to be a very different element into now Uhtred needs to play chess.
Yeah.
So I used to say that Alfred would always playing chess. Now Uhtred needs to play chess because he does
not only does he have kids, but now one of his kids is with him.
Yeah, right. And there's a great, I think, symmetry. Mm-hmm. And I think also, you know, I think what you could argue a parallel between Uhtred and his son Uhtred, mm-hmm. meaning Uhtred was taken from his Saxon home as a young boy. He was baptized Christian, and then he was forced to live among Danes. The same thing kind of happens here, where Uhtred takes his son away from his Christian home, mm-hmm. as at least how his son has adopted it as his Christian home, and now forces him to live among mostly Danes and warriors. And
he likes chicken.
So much chicken. And also, like, there's this great thing. Again, we bring it back to Beppenberg and how it all kind of ties back to season one, which is, I love the conversation where Uhtred is talking to his son and saying, I'm taking you to Beppenberg. And he says it to him like, you should be wicked happy about this, your birthright. Like, and what I loved about Alfred was that there was this almost this faith-based antagonism from Alfred and Uhtred between the two. And you're somewhat getting that, I think, with Uhtred and his son. Mm-hmm. And his son's looking at Beppenberg like, whatever, dude. I don't, like, who are you?
Yes.
Who are you again? Like, yeah, you're my dad, but yeah, right guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
got nothing in common.
Yeah, we have.
I don't like chicken.
I'm more of a duck man myself. Yeah, thank you so much. Although I will say that horse that that Citric brings, oh my god,
I got you a present.
I got you a present, this little teeny tiny.
Well,
like,
and shame on Uhtred for not approving it. You know.
Oh, I know. But the very fact is too, like, it goes to show you how long it's been since Uhtred has seen his son, mm-hmm. and how much thought he's given to, like, oh yeah, my kid. He's grown up now. Like, yeah. Oh, when I saw that, I just laughed so hard. Oh my goodness gracious. Speaking of Beppenberg, we got Uncle Scar.
Okay.
Uncle Scar, what do you think about Uncle Scar and how he's doing it? And by Uncle Scar, we mean Alfred.
Yes.
What do you think about all that?
Okay. First off, he loves the saint's heart. I'm not giving it up.
Yeah.
I'm a Christian man and this has helped me all this time. Okay, well, we're going to see how well that works out for
this kind of comes out of nowhere a little bit, you know, this the heart thing.
I mean, I'm glad that the gross saint body parts are kind of coming back since it was gross and everyone wanted them. So I'm glad that it's somehow back. And who knows how realistic this was. Like, maybe this was a real thing and people had all these parts and it was really important to try to get them together. That's one of the things that's interesting, but not interesting enough where I Google it to think, like, was some of this real? Was some of it not? That's for Blake to do.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm... You know, in the beginning, I loved it. I loved their being invaded. I loved how it was like a sneak attack. And this guy obviously is just not a very smart warrior. I mean, he leaves a bunch of his guys out there to die, and he's only got 40 left. And those guys are so scared. They're puking. They're tired. Yeah. They're cold. And when challenged with, where are we going to get new people? He says, go get the boys from the farms. Mm-hmm. So not the best leader.
Yeah, and he doesn't really inspire much leadership. No. I mean, and there's a great contrast here between Aelfrich and Uhtred, right? Mm-hmm. Uhtred is the one who inspires with loyalty and in honor and respect and name and reputation. Whereas Aelfrich, you know, they are certainly making him out to be the bad guy.
100%.
Like, capital T, capital B, capital G, the bad guy. You know, like, and that to me is a little hard. I wish there was more characterization than he's just bad.
I mean, but on the flip side, you know, those, like, curmudgeon-y people who just think that they're right and they do get to sit in their little high castles. And,
that's true.
You know, he hasn't really been challenged that much. What I did love was Finnan, Osferth, and Citric just hiding in the beggar's clothes.
Yeah.
Taking all those rings and all that kind of stuff. Where have they been all this time?
Right. Just chilling out in some, like, hut.
Like, I'm poor. Let's go be scavengers who actually get loads of good stuff. Who get rings. I mean, that's probably how they got home. was all the money from that.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about Uncle Scar. I think that it's going to be interesting to see what ends up happening with him and Ethel Fled, a.k.a. Prince Hans, when they get to potentially have some kind of
Ethel
emergent.
Red. Oh. Ethel Fled is.
Oh, yeah. She's the girl.
Yeah.
Whatever. The boy.
Yeah.
Ethel Red.
Ethel Red.
Okay. Ethel Red. Since his monks are on the way. And of course, Uhtred gets this insight, and so maybe he's going to dress up as a monk. We know that they have hoods and stuff from their little theater game of playing the beggars.
Yep.
So, and now he's got a cross from Hild. Maybe he can wear that and pretend he's a monk.
You know, and there was this great, speaking of Hild, there's that great moment too where Uhtred is talking about Hild, and he's calling it like the great abbess, like the great holy abbess and all that other stuff. Where was I? I had in my notes here. Oh, goodness gracious, Blake. Where did you do it?
You can just search the word abbess.
You know what? That's a great idea, Mary.
That's why I'm here.
That's why you got a much better job done.
And I'm the one that's stuck with COVID brain fog.
I know.
Thanks.
Where is it? He goes, Uhtred says, goodbye, pure and holy abbess. And then Hild says, goodbye, you bloodthirsty heathen. Their relationship is great.
It is so great.
And I wish there was just more of Hild. Mm. I remember when she first came on from season one, I was kind of like, what are we doing? But you know what?
She's had an evolution.
It's a big evolution. And she, you know, my fighting days are over. I'm just going to do the things.
She ages like a fine wine.
I know.
Life was rough before, and I am living la vida loca in retirement.
And she gives him the cross and, you know, the whole thing.
And even jokes like, you can just pedal it, you know?
Yeah, right.
But here you go.
So there are a couple of changes, Mary. You all right?
I just got shocked by the mic.
So there are a couple of changes that I noticed in terms of
the fact that Uhtred and Ethelfled have sex. That's a change.
Well, that is one thing. I was just going to say there is a big time sexy scene between Ethelfled and Uhtred, which is not something that we have really witnessed in this show, you know, to a big extent.
We just had him be like, this isn't a good idea. We can't get together. And then season four changed his mind.
Yeah. And like there have been scenes which alluded to sex scenes. Mm-hmm. But there hasn't been like a full straight on blowout rumpy pumpy. And we did get one in this episode, and it came,
that's what she said.
And it came very early, in the episode. I think it was like the second scene. It was right after the stuff with Aelfrich.
The Scots, yes.
So that is one difference. Now, whether that is the Netflix influence or if it was a Martha Hillier influence, that's an interesting conversation, right? Because what is Netflix after? It's after getting eyeballs. It's after telling a compelling story, but using their platform to tell that compelling story in certain ways that only they can.
Mm-hmm.
But does that also comment on the tastes of Martha Hillier, right? It's not to say that because she's a woman, she wants to have a sex scene, but because she's just a different person. She's a different showrunner. She has a different style. Is it fair to say that the relationships in this show have kind of suffered, like the romantic relationships have kind of suffered because there really hasn't been a sex scene? There really hasn't been that moment of connection between
I mean, I just got over it because Uhtred was just, you know, seemed to be having rumpy pumpy with anything that had a pulse and had long hair.
Yeah.
So for a while, I just kept saying, like, I'm all set with this. And I, you know, there was this like unnecessary sexual tension between him and Skade. You know, I loved his relationship with Breeda. I loved his wife, the second one that died that broke his heart, Gisela.
Yeah.
You know, there, but for me, it just got to a point where I was like, okay, he's having sex again, but I didn't have that relationship to build upon.
Yeah.
So for this one, yes, it's kind of come out of the blue, but they've had a relationship. They've acknowledged they like each other. We know that Ethelfled is no prude between the sheets. You know what I mean? Like she's down for some pagan pumpy. So
pagan pumpy.
So I'm okay with it. I just don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm okay with it.
By the way, speaking of Ethelfled,
what?
Let's just talk about. I think if there was ever a person if there was a definition of friend zone,
yes,
you're looking at your boy Aldham. I think he was the first person that was ever put in the friend zone.
Agreed. Here he leaves season three, stabbed by Ethelred, because he's kind of like protecting Ethelflaed and he's standing up for his own beliefs. And he still now is working for Ethelred.
Yeah.
Knows Ethelflaed is banging Uhtred. But at the end of season three, as he's bleeding, he says, Ethelflaed, I love you. And now his job is to go warn her when she's having sex with Uhtred.
He's the cabbie.
Yes.
He's the Uber ride home.
Yes. From Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore. Hey, you want me to call you a cab?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, let me get Aldham on the phone.
Oh my gosh, Aldham.
And then he says to her, "You know, I don't, lady. You know, I do not speak in envy." Yeah, right, guy.
I wish I was Uhtred right now.
Yeah. All you want is to be Uhtred.
Yeah. He has to say, like, it's not because I'm jealous that you're being an Uhtred, but you know, this is kind of dangerous. But I kind of am jealous. But like, I don't want you remembering that I said I loved you to make you not take this seriously.
Oh my goodness.
And then Uhtred just sits eating chicken.
Just what?
I'm just, I don't know if he's actually eating chicken. But
just, it just looks like
she,
chicken.
She tells him, like, oh, your friends are coming back. Don't worry. I know that you're going to miss me, but your friends are coming back soon.
Yeah.
From Bebbanburg. And Uhtred just sits there for, like, the Twilight transition. There's a possibility. When Bella's looking out her door and all the seasons change. Man. And Uhtred just sits there. And I'm like,
just watching his triumph over all hell.
Get a new friend. Just because your three friends are gone and Ethelflaed left doesn't mean you have to pout. They'll be back soon. You can go to bed.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Poor Aldhelm.
You know how I feel bad for is Brita. She's babysitting baby Knut.
Oh, I know. And by the way, speaking of hair, Brita's hair in this episode, phenomenal.
Yeah, she's pimped like a pagan.
Oh, primped, man. Like a pagan. Primped like a pagan.
I'm getting shocked by my mic. Do you hear it?
No.
Oh, it's terrible. Okay. Maybe I need to touch it so the electricity won't shock me. But she's running through the woods with these little redheads. And once again, here we are. I don't know how much time has passed. I can gauge a little bit by how long Edward's hair is and things like that. But all of a sudden I thought, oh, Brita lifted the curse.
Yeah.
Maybe she got pregnant with Knut's babies.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're Canette's kids running around with the redheads. Hand-me-down roads, red hair, must be a Weasley.
You're a wizard, Harry.
But then, of course, they're not. They're from his wife.
Yeah.
And he's just brought them aboard.
And Brita's just like, okay, we're not only am I going to be stepmom.
I don't know if she knows real mom's still alive.
Who knows? Who cares? She's like Julia. She's like the stepmom. Oh, what's her name? Susan Sarandon in the movie Stepmom.
Yes.
But she's, instead of smoking joints in the movie, Brita's taking out knives,
teaching them
how to kill people.
You don't take mercy. You kill yourself.
Kill yourself, kid.
Little child. Don't let the Christians get you. Mercy's for them.
Oh man. Oh yeah. And then we do have Ethelred. We see the hawk again. The hawk is brought back.
Mm-hmm.
We have that. And then there's a lot of plot in this episode.
There is.
I'm.
That's why I think I liked it as a premiere.
Now that I'm like looking back on it, like there's a lot of plot. We have the whole thing with the Danes and Heston going
to Ethelred's new best friend.
Yeah.
Whose sister he wants to bang.
Yes. And he tried to bang Ethelred. The brother tried to bang Ethelred. So that tried to happen.
They're like, we both want him.
Yeah. So this feels like these people are just coming up. But there's like a backstab because Heston has told Ethelred's buddy that they're going to Ireland, but they're not.
Yeah. But he got his silver in the meantime.
Right. So.
But the buddy believed Heston.
And so now.
Told Ethelred. Told Edward.
Yep. And
told Edward's father.
But Edward knows better. Edward knows better because he's like, no, I heard that he's still there. What are you talking
about? Well, Uhtred tells Edward. Uhtred tells them if Knut's kids are here, then that means no.
Yeah.
Knut's actually going to be invading.
Right.
Like, don't believe Heston. Don't believe this new random guy that's Ethelred's friend.
But Ethelred takes to the road and goes to East Anglia to do the things that he's supposed to do over there. And this was actually, sorry, quick aside, this was another thing that kind of tips off the fact that there's a new showrunner. We have the girl with the Thor's hammer that is introduced in the
Dane woods
camp.
When everyone's dead?
Yeah, like okay. She was the girl that came from the Dane camp, and then they sent all the women off.
Okay.
And they followed her, and we could tell it's the same girl because of Thor's hammer.
Okay.
And then when the Mercians come and take over East Anglia, they show that the girl was there. It's kind of like the girl in the pink coat in Schindler's List. Like, okay. You remember that? Like, yeah. The girl in the pink coat, you know, you knew who she was
because
and you followed
of
her.
A visual cue. Okay.
Because of a visual cue.
So you know the Mercians are attacking a Dane camp.
Yes.
Of women.
Of women. And they keep showing you, and they show you the girl in the pink coat early on in the film. And they show you the girl with the Thor's hammer early in the episode. And you kind of follow along. You kind of follow along with them throughout the film. And then at the end, you see the girl with the pink coat. She is, you know, hashtag dead. And so is the girl with Thor's hammer. You never, ever, ever, ever saw that under Stephen Bouchard's writing. Like, he never took another person's perspective like that.
Okay.
And I think that's an interesting difference as well.
Okay.
But so now we have Mercia going to East Anglia, and now the Danes are going to Mercia.
Yes.
To take over Mercia.
Yes.
And then have the North so that they can come down to the rest of England.
Yes.
And that's interesting. And all the while, Uhtred's saying to Edward, hey, give me some guys so I can go get Bebbanburg so you can have a stronghold in the north and you'll rule all of England. And
it's just what your dad wanted.
And you could see Edward kind of like buying it. And then
father-in-law
Æthelheim,
yes,
shows up and like gives him the look. He's like, no, what are you doing? And then Edward just kind of listens.
Yeah.
And Edward listens to Æthelheim, or whatever the guy's name.
Father-in-law.
Yeah, the father-in-law. Phil. I'll call him Phil. he listens to Phil by taking out all of King Alfred's papers, and they're going to make it a war room. And
it is
like,
Æthelheim. Yeah. Æthelheim?
Æthelheim? Is it
father-in-law Æthelheim?
Yeah, Phil.
Lord, you can call him...
Lord Phil. I'm going to call him Lord Phil.
Æthelheim.
Sure, Æthelheim.
Father-in-law, Lord Æthelheim.
Yeah. This guy's got way too much influence for my taste. Way too much influence over Edward.
Yeah.
And what do you think about Edward not helping Uhtred?
So Edward obviously had daddy issues.
Oh, yeah.
And I think when the father-in-law came in, he just paid a lot of attention to Edward. And Edward just remembers his dad being kind of a jerk. You know, mm-hmm. You're not worthy. You're not ready. Oh, let's get rid of your wife. Let's get rid of your babies. And then this guy comes in and he's like, hey, you want to marry my pretty daughter? I'm pretty rich and I'm really smart. And I can just see him being a little snake and complimenting Edward here or there. I love your hair. You know, it's very kingly. You know, so just giving him these little boosts that Edward really didn't get from his dad. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's why he has his
influence.
But
you would think that Edward... would know, I think, more
Edward's
than
a pushover.
Would know more than most that it was because of Uhtred that his father was able to be the king that he was.
Yeah, but he's now had his mom spewing all this hatred of Uhtred, and he's had now his new father-in-law probably spewing his hatred of Uhtred. So
yeah. And, yeah, I suppose you're right.
And his like new father-in-law has these great ideas of let's build some really cool walls. And it sounds like Edward likes to see cool walls be built.
And notice, too, that it's Æthelheim, Phil, who wants to build walls, where it was Alfred who said very specifically, we have to stop building walls between mm-hmm. tribes. Mm-hmm. That is a very important distinction that Martha Hillier is making for all of us. Mm-hmm. Even though you don't recognize it at the time, your brain does.
Yeah.
Your brain sees it and says, that's a problem. And that is great writing in and of itself.
So we end up with Uhtred and his buddies on a boat with baby Uhtred. Mm-hmm. And here we go.
And that's
giddy
that.
Up, friends.
All right. You got a destined to be theory of the week. Actually, theory of the day, because we're going to be plowing through these episodes.
I think that Uhtred.
Go ahead.
I think that Uhtred will wear Hild's necklace as he pretends to be a monk.
Oh, good one. I like that. I like that. For me, there is 0.0 chance that this raid on Beppenburg works. They're going to, someone's going to die. Guaranteed.
Someone who I love.
Finn and last.
I mean, why can't they just kill young Uhtred? That's an easy kill.
It's true. Does young Uhtred die?
I'd be okay with that.
I don't think that he does.
I mean, he's kind of whiny. He's not like cool Osferth. Osferth at least was like, hey, I'm a monk, but I'm kind of funny.
If there's anybody that dies, it's Osferth.
Oh my gosh. Finnan will not take this well.
I don't think Bjarke dies. I don't think Bjarke dies. I mean, you
could kill Citric.
I was just going to say Citric may die.
I'd be okay with that.
One of them is going to die. You cannot go to Beppenburg.
In episode two, you think one of them's going to die?
Yes.
You think one of the people...
Well, it may not be episode two, but whatever episode this...
They visit Beppenburg.
Visit Beppenburg and they go to try to take it out.
How about just one of them gets maimed? You know, like it's a peg leg or something.
I don't think so.
Do they have peg legs then?
I don't think so. I don't think that happens because it's just too much of a pain in the ass to recreate every episode.
Fine. No peg legs.
Someone's croaking.
Well, Citric has a family. Might be Finnan.
It's not going to be Finnan.
Good.
He's too important.
Yes, he is.
All right, you ready to close this bad boy out?
Yes.
Let's do it.
We want to thank you so incredibly much for tuning in to this episode of The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. Reminder that Blake designed some really fun stuff at the maryandblakestore.com. So if you wanted to check out some shirts there, we're more than happy for you to check that out.
More than just shirts. By the way, we got products galore.
Oh,
we got phone covers, mugs, bags. You think of it, we got it.
We got
pens,
it, man.
Everything. Buttons. It never ends. We got merch coming out of our ears.
That is right. That is the scoop. So for now, ladies and gents, my name's Mary Larson.
My name is Blake.
Destiny is all.